And we're holding on Kuf Chof Aleph Amr Aleph by on the third line. We had said in the Mishnah, we're talking about what kind of srimanim you need to identify a body, and we also talked about how long after the death can they say Aedrus before we assume that maybe the appearance of the body or the face has changed. So Tanakhama had said 3 days. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had said not all people are the same, because, for example, you have fatter and skinnier people, and not all places, not all times are the same. So you can't say a blanket statement for 3 days. We talked about yesterday, by the way, also, that Tosfos discusses, Rabbi Tam says, that really, this, even according to the Tanakhama, this limit of 3 days is really only when you're talking about that you're based on actual simonim. Or when you don't have, when the face is not intact and you have to rely on simonim or on tvius ayin on the body. Sometimes you can't mention any actual simon, but tvius ayin, I recognize this body or this face at a glance. So we talked about yesterday that Rabbi Natan says that if you have tvius ayin, then it would be acceptable. Now if you have tvius ayin, it would be acceptable even after more than 3 days. Only when you're talking about simonim, then we would say that you're limited to 3 days. And again, we said that most of the other Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam on that point. And they say that whether we're talking about Tvias Ayin, whether we're talking about Simonim, either way, the limit is 3 days. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying not necessarily 3 days, because it depends on the person and it depends on the time and place. So, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava l'kula polig or l'chumra polig? Is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava arguing l'kula, saying that And Tanakhama is saying the maximum is always 3 days, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying that no, sometimes you can go beyond 3 days, if let's say it's a skinny person and cold weather. Or the Chumra colleague, or on the contrary, is he arguing the Chumra, where the Tanakhama is saying you always have up to 3 days, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava would be saying that sometimes you don't even have as much as 3 days. In fact, Tosfos says that the Gemara could have asked that maybe it's both. Maybe it's both the Chumra or the Chumra. In other words, the 3 days doesn't even begin at all. Each one would have to be done on a case-by-case basis. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Gahu Gabra the Tova Bakarmi, there was a man who drowned in a place called Karmi, Vasku Abehedi al Bosset Flossin Yemen. They pulled his body out of the water in a different place called Barhedia, and it was after 3 days, but Ansivar Rabdimi Minahadra al Devesu. And Rabdimi Minahadra allowed the guy's wife to remarry on the basis of Edim recognized the body, and they were able to say that it was him. The two, how who gathered the ifba the diglas. There was another person who drowned in the diglas, which is the Chidekel River. Vaskuhu agishu the Shabistana. They pulled his body out of the water by the Shabistana bridge, which is further downstream on the Chidekel. The answer of Rava Lodevesu, Apuma de Shoshvini. Rava followed the testimony of Shushvinin. Shushvinin are really close friends of his. In particular, we find in Gemara and Bava Basra that Shushvinin are part of like a compact that a group of friends will have between themselves, where I'll help you with your, we will all help you with your wedding expenses, and you'll invite us to the wedding. And in return, when each of us in turn gets married, then each of us will contribute towards your wedding, and you'll invite us and so forth. So Shushvinin and then are really close friends, so they'd recognize him. So Rava got testimony from Shushvinin, and he allowed the wife to remarry, even though Labos Hamisha, you know, even though it was 5 days since the person had drowned. Now, So in both these cases, we're saying it was after 3 days. So, if you say Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is arguing Lakula, the Tanakhama is saying maximum always 3 days, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying sometimes you can go further, then fine, that explains what happened. They're following Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's opinion. He's a Tana, even though he's a Das Yochid, sometimes we find the halacha is like a Das Yochid, so they're allowed to follow his opinion, to be mocked to this woman, to be mocked to these people's wives. Eli, I'm at Lachumra Polig, but if you say Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is arguing Lachumra, and the Tanakhama is saying always maximum 3 days, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is saying no, it can never go beyond 3 days, but sometimes it can be less. Inudah would command, then who would Rav Dimi min HaHadah or Rava respectively be following? They have to have some Tana that they're following. So obviously, doesn't that show that Rav Yehuda ben Rava is going Lakula? And the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily, because Shiny Maya Ditsamsi, because it's different when they're in water. In both these cases, a person drowned, and water tends to fix the face in position and prevent it from swelling up. Like this, in other words, a body that's sitting out in the open, after a while it starts decaying and it starts swelling up, and therefore the face, the shape and the contours and whatever of the face may change. But when it's in water, then that prevents that from happening. That preserves the body for longer, or that preserves the face for longer. So therefore, there may be less of an issue with it. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'amet Maya Marzumaka." Didn't we talk about yesterday? We said, on the contrary, that water makes a wound worse. We talked about a case. We said where you have a person has lost their leg. Where we said that if they lost it above the knee, then we say it makes them a trefa. And we said that even though there's a possibility that even though if it was on land, they might be able to survive it for longer, but in water, then no, because that would make it worse. So you're telling me that water makes things worse, not better. And the answer is hani mili ha'echa de'ika maka. The answer is that's when there's a wound, then the water makes it worse, and the water gets into it, and therefore makes it swell up, and makes the person more likely to die of it. Aval heich the lekamaka, but when there's no wound, mitzvah tzomis, then just the opposite, the water helps prevent decay and prevent the swelling up that you would otherwise have in a body. So again, according to most Rishonim, this applies to, we said yesterday that most Rishonim learn you have to be able to recognize the face. We said in the Mishnah yesterday, unless maybe if you have simonim muvhokim, if you have really unique simonim on the body, then fine, we can follow those. But then again, it'll depend whether there's a wound or not. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we're talking about that, if there's no wounds on the face, then Rabbeinu Tam says there's no question that it would be even long after 3 days. It doesn't really change that much. It's only really when we're talking about simonim on the body that there would be an issue between before and after 3 days. Tosfos there also, by the way, discusses the question, what if you're not sure whether it was 3 days or more than 3 days? In both of these cases in the Gemara, we know when the person drowned, we know when they got his body out of the water, so we know how many days it was. But what happens, it could be that you come across a body and you don't know how many days it was since he died. You have to, forensic investigation. So Rabbi Natan, again, in that same Tosfos, on Daf Kof, learns that you could be makel on that and say that you can assume that it might be within 3 days, and therefore, if they recognize the body, that's good enough. Again, many of you showing him disagree with that, and say that this one, unlike the one about recognizing the face versus the body and simonim versus tviyasayin, where in Shulchan Aruch it mentions the opinion of Rabbi Tam and says that most of you showing him disagree with him. With this one, it just brings both opinions, that if you have a suffix of 3 days, then it's still acceptable, and yesh oimrim that not. So going back to our Gemara over here on Kuf Aleph then, so again, since in these cases, we're not talking about there were any injuries on the body, the body was drowned in the water, then therefore the water will preserve it for longer, and therefore Rava and Rav Dimi min HaHadah could say that it's possible to recognize the body, to recognize the face, even after 3 days. But the Gemara says, "V'hani mili dechi aske chazia b'shaite." Now, all that would only apply, though, if as soon as they got the body out of the water, they saw it very shortly afterwards and gave edus. Aval ishtahi. But if then they leave the body for a while before the edim come, mitbach topach. Meanwhile, it will swell up after you get it out of the water. So then it'll start swelling up, and then the features will start changing. And therefore you won't be able to recognize it as well. So in these cases, it would have to be that the Edom were there right when they pulled the body out of the water. With all these things, with these and with what we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it, there's a huge amount of literature on it. First of all, the Siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about these dinim is extremely long. Siman Yud Zayin and Evan Ezer is extremely long and goes through many different scenarios. Second of all, you have a huge amount of literature in Shailos HaTshuvos that goes through these kinds of things about dinim of identifying bodies and when Eidos on a person's death is acceptable and when not, which is going to be the subject of the next two Mishnayos and the Gemara on them, and all sorts of things like that. There's an expression that the post can bring that a Rav who's Mater and Aguna is Ki'ilu Bona Achas Mechorvis Yerushalayim, is as if he rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. So it's a tremendous mitzvah, and therefore Sarabonim throughout the generations would always be looking for ways to be able to manage that within the parameters of the halachas that we're learning over here in these Gemaras. So the Mishnah continues. If the person fell into water, whether the water has an end or does not have an end, and we'll see soon what we'll see in the Gemara what mayim sheyesh lahem soif and she'ein lahem soif is. Either way, ishtay asura, either way his wife is asur, because he might have gotten out of the water someplace else, or he might have survived in an underground cavern near the water, as we'll see in the Gemara. But Rav Meir says not so. And Rav Meir says as a proof, Ma'aseh ba'echad shenafel l'barna gadol. Rav Meir says, you see, for example, there's an example of a person who fell into the great pit. So this would be a large hole in the ground that was filled with water, that they would have, that people would use it for their water supply. And there was a person who fell in there. And after 3 days of being in there, he still got out and he was alive. So you see that a person could survive even in the water for 3 days. They could be treading water. They could be, they could find like an underground, they could find an underground place, etc. We'll see in the Gemara why the Chachamim do not accept that, that logic. On the other hand, Rav Yossi says it happened that there was a blind man who went down to Tovel in a cave. The Yorad Moshchayachrav, the one who was pulling him along, went along with him. In other words, the person who was blind was not able; he couldn't see where he was going, so he had somebody to lead him to, from one place to another. And they went into the cave, and they never came out. The Shohu Kadesha Tetsi Napsham. So they waited long enough that they couldn't possibly have survived, that they must have been underwater long enough that they couldn't possibly still be alive. But he see what's Nishay saying. And they allowed their wives to be married. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that there's a limit how long a person could stay in the water. Now, in this case, it was a cave, for example. If they came out of the water, then any observers would see them. So in other words, the beginning of the Mishnah said that it doesn't matter whether the water has yesh lahem soif or ein lahem soif. Now the Gemara is going to explain that yesh lahem soif means that when you're standing in one place, you can see all of the banks, all of the shores of the body of water. So now, if the person came out from the water anywhere, then you would see him because you can see all the shores of it. That's called mayim sheyesh lahem soif. So the cave that we're talking about is an example of Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif. On the other hand, Mayim She'ein Lahem Soif is a larger body of water where it's so large you can't see from one end to the other. So therefore, there's the possibility that maybe the person actually floated to a different part of it and got out of the water there. So the mayor was saying in the beginning of the Mishnah that it doesn't matter the size of the body of water. Either way, there's a possibility that somehow they survived. Even the Gemara is going to say, on Omer Beis, maybe even B'derech Nes, whereas Rabbi Yossi is saying that not. You see from this example of the cave that once they were in the water long enough that they couldn't possibly have survived, this blind man and his guide, then we allow their wives to remarry, and we're not concerned about, as the Gemara is going to say, that there might be like an underground cavern that has air in it that they might have survived for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi says, you see that if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif, then it's fine to allow to say that the person is dead and say that his wife can be married. And Rabbi Yossi continues, "V'shuv ma'is v'esya." It happened also in Esya, which is a part of Turkey nowadays. "V'echad sheshuv shaluhu layam." There was a person who we talked about this yesterday in the Gemara. A person, they lowered him into the sea. "V'loy also v'yadim el ragloy." Later on, all they pulled out of him was his leg. "Omru chachamim." So the chacham said, we have to see how far up the leg was detached. In other words, the assumption would be, in other words, that the shark came and ate him, or that he drowned and his leg broke off, or whatever. Anyway, "Omru chachamim min ha'kubo l'mayla tinase." If the leg is broken off above the knee, tinase, then she's allowed to be married, because an injury like that, as we talked about yesterday, a person is not going to survive for very long. And in fact, we said the water would make things even worse. So therefore, you can be sure that he's going to die pretty soon. But if it's below the knee, then his wife can't be married because he might survive such an injury. And again, since it was in the yam, which is mayim she'en lam soif, then we would say there's the possibility that maybe he got out of the water someplace else. So the Gemara starts off, turning up on him, nothal mayim, if a person falls into water, ben sheyesh lahem soif, ben sheyem lahem soif, ishtei asura, divrei the mayor. So the mayor is saying his wife is asur. Now, well, the point of this is, in our Mishnah, we started with a statement that an anonymous statement saying ishtei asura, and then omer the mayor, and then the mayor brings this proof from a person who fell into the Bar HaGadol. So the Braisa is making it clear that all of that is part of the mayor's statement. The mayor is saying that even if it's mayim sheyesh lahem soif, as for example with the Bar HaGadol, which is you stand on one side of it, you can see all the way across, you can see to all the sides of it, then nevertheless your mayor is saying a person could survive in there, and therefore ishtei asura divrei the mayor. So the mayor would say his wife is also to remarry, even though we haven't found him, because maybe he is in fact alive. The Chum said there's a difference whether the water has a soif or not. So hey, she don't mind she has them. So what do we mean by mind she has them? So I'm gonna buy kol she oimed beroya ma'abur uchosam. When you can stand in one vantage point and see all four sides of it, so you can see all the banks and all the shores of it, and therefore, so once you wait long enough that the person could not, once you wait long enough that the person couldn't possibly have survived under the water, then if he actually came out of the water, you would see him, because you can see all the shores of this lake or whatever, or body of water or whatever. Therefore, we know that the guy is for sure dead. As opposed to, if it's Mayim Shein Lam Soif, you never know, he might have floated or swum to a different part of it out of the vantage point and gotten it. So the Gemara gives an example. Ho gavra the tova ba'agma desanti. There was once a man who drowned in Agma desanti, which is a lake. So it was a lake. Unlike we're talking in the Gemara so far, for the example that we had, the example we had in the Mishnah, for example, of Rabbi Yossi talking about the story that happened in Asya of the person who they lowered into the water, and then afterwards they found only his leg. That was the Mediterranean Sea, which is near Turkey. So that's not a lake. That's a sea where the water, there's a current in it. But here we're talking about there was a lake where there's no current in it. So there was a man who drowned in there. Ansavar of Shila Ludvesu, and of Shila allowed his wife to remarry on the basis of Edim who saw him fall in there. Now, Agma Desanti, on the one hand, it's a lake, it has no current. On the other hand, it's too big to be Mayim Shein Lahem Soif, to be Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif. So, on the face of it, Rav Shila did wrong. Omle Rav L'Shmol Tanishamte. So Rav says to Shmuel, we should put him in Cherim, because he's going against what the Chachamim are saying. How could he be mad to this woman when on the basis of a drowning in Mayim Shein Lahem Soif? What if the guy got out safely someplace else? Omalei Mishalach Leberesha. So Shmuel says, let's not jump the gun. Let's first send him a message and find out what he was thinking. Shohulei, so they sent a message to Rav Shila, and they asked him, tell us, Mayim She'en Lahem Soif Ishtei Asura in the terrace. If a person drowns, if a man drowns in Mayim She'en Lahem Soif, is his wife Asura Mutter? Shalach Lahu Ishtei Asura. So he sends back, yeah, the Alocha is the wife is Asura. So they sent him back, nu, v'agma desamki mayim sheyesh lahem soif, or mayim shein lahem soif. What is agma desamki? Is it mayim sheyesh lahem soif or ein lahem soif? Amalahu, shalach lahu, so he sent back to them, mayim shein lahem soif. It's mayim shein lahem soif. Well, in that case, then Rav Shila is in effect agreeing with them that he shouldn't have been matzah this man's wife. So the question is, my time of it. So they asked him then, so why'd you do that? Why would you matter this guy's wife if this place is Mayim She'in Lahem Soif and you're not supposed to? So he says, Mita Te'ina. So Rav Shila says, because I made a mistake in the halacha. I made a mistake in the application of the halacha. And no sadly, I figured at first that the definition of Agma Desanti is in fact Mayim She'yesh Lahem Soif. I thought, given the Kovu V'kaim, since the water in Agma Desunki remains in place, there's no current over there with water flowing in and out, I thought, Kemayim She'yesh Lahem Soif. So I thought that that would be like Mayim She'yesh Lahem Soif, because I figured, in other words, that since it's one thing when the body of water has a current, so you might have, for example, imagine the guy is unconscious and the current takes him from one place to another in the body of water, and then he winds up deposited on the shore someplace else out of your sight. I figured, says Rav Shila, it's different with a body of water that has no current, like this Agma Desanti. There's no current to take him from one place to another. Therefore, wherever he drowned is probably where he stayed. The loyhi, but in fact, that's not so. And Rav Shila is saying, I myself realized the mistake, given the ikagali, because after all, there are waves in this Agma Desanti, because even though there's no current, there's still, the water still ruffles, the wind still ruffles the water and creates waves. It's very possible then that the waves brought him down, that the waves moved him from one place to another while he was unconscious, and therefore conceivably he could have wound up on the shore someplace else out of sight. So in other words, yes, it was wrong to be matzah this guy's wife on the basis of that. So it comes out that Rav had the right intuition that after all it was also, and it turns out Rav Shila was mistaken. So Kori Shmuel alei de Rav lo yu'una l'tzadik kol oven. So Shmuel applied to Rav the pasuk, no wrong thing will befall the tzadik. That, in other words, that Rav did not jump the gun and go put Rav Shila in Cherem, where in fact it turns out that Rav Shila, he was mistaken in his application of the halacha, but he didn't do it deliberately, so it wouldn't have been appropriate to put him in Cherem. So Shmuel applies to Rav, Hashem brought it about, Hashgacha brought this, that I was there to tell you to ask Rav Shila first for the circumstances, and that way you avoided the serious avera of putting someone in Cherem when you're not supposed to. Kori Rav alei to Shmuel, it's true of a roiv yoretz. And in turn, Rav applied to Shmuel, the pasuk, there's the salvation comes with many advisors. In other words, Hashem made it, the siyata d'shmaya, that you were around to advise me to not jump the gun and put Rav Shila in Chayim. Now, though, an interesting point in it still is that, after all, Rav Shila was also a tzaddik. Does it mean that Hashem brought it about that Rav Shila actually was matir and eshes ish when he shouldn't have? So Ben Yahayada over here actually brings a number of interesting cases where there were chachamim in later generations who argued about Keter Aguna. He brings an example, for example, where one time the Beis Yosef and the Namah were arguing about a particular Keter Aguna. The Beis Yosef said that we don't have evidence that the guy's dead, so his wife is Osir. That Amos says she is Mutter. So the Ben Yoyota tells the Magid, the Beis Yosef had a Malach called the Magid, who would come and tell him various things, various Sodas HaTorah or whatever. So he came and explained to the Beis Yosef that actually, in a way, both of you were right. The based on the Eidos that we had, it's true that wasn't enough to say that the woman should be Mutter, like you're saying. However, because that Amar is a tzaddik, Hashem wouldn't allow Takola to happen through him, Hashem arranged that the guy actually died someplace else before the heter actually took effect, before that Amar actually gave the heter. So therefore it comes out, and in reality, the guy was dead, and therefore the Eibishter arranged that Amar didn't end up making a terrible mistake. And he gives several other examples. So in other words, the same way over here, you could say that the fact that in fact he was dead, there's not enough evidence in Halacha to say that he's dead, but nevertheless, it's still in real actuality, he was, and therefore when his wife remarries, then it's not a mark against Rav Shila's record. The Ramah went around the Beis Yosef, whether the Beis Yosef lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramah in Poland, but they communicated by letter. They were in touch a lot by letter, yeah. Yeah, in fact, the Rama was a circle. He wrote a Sefer Torah and sent it to the Bais Yosef. Yeah. Yeah.
But the Rama only found the Bais Yosef after the whole period.
No, he knew of the Bais Yosef before that. What it was is, I mean, we don't have really time to get into this in such length, but yeah, what happened was that Rama was the Bais Yosef was told also by his Magid that the Rama is about to write something along the lines of what the Bais Yosef himself is going to write, the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, he should hurry up and finish it before the Ramah preempts him. And so he did. He published the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Ramah realized, well, I've been preempted. So therefore, he wrote the notes on it, which are the Hagos and Ramah that we have in Shulchan Aruch. There were printing presses then. This is in the mid-1500s. Yeah. Let's go on. We can talk history later. Okay.
All I want to talk about is this. Okay.
Yeah. Onward. Tanya. Omer Rebbe. Maisa b'shnei b'nei odem machamrin machmorin b'yardin. It happened once that two people were spreading nets to catch fish in the Yarden. One of them went into a fish hole. Namely, you actually explained that sometimes you have under the water, you get to the edges of the water, you get to the banks of the river or the body of water of whatever kind it is, and underneath the bank, you have the fish will dig out a burrow over there where the top of that ends up being, so you'll have most of it is filled with water, but you'll have an airspace at the top of it underground that has air that's above the water line. So one person went in there, the shokachama, the loyal pishacha. So he was in there trying to catch fish. The shokachama, the loyal pishacha mechila, the sunset, he wasn't able to see the entrance of the mechila to be able to get out. He had gotten in while it was still daylight, and there was enough sunlight filtering in through the water for him to see this mechila in the first place, but by the time he was ready to go out, it was dark, and he couldn't find his way. The other one waited on the banks of the Yarden long enough that the person couldn't possibly have survived underwater. And he went to the person's house to inform them that he's dead. The next day the sun shone. The first fisherman found the entrance of the mechila that he had come in. So he came back home. He finds a tremendous wailing and mourning going on in his house. They thought he was dead. All of a sudden he turns up alive. So Rebbe says, you see from this how great are the words of the Chachamim. You see, they would have thought, the aides thought, how could he possibly survive? It didn't even occur to them that there could be a Mechila Shel Dagim and he could survive in there all night. So by the same token then, this is exactly why the Chachamim are saying that Mayim She'en Lahem Soif, the woman is also, because you never know, he might have gotten out someplace else out of our sight, but there might even be a Mechila Shel Dagim under the edges of the water. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif Nami Leichush LeMechila Shel Dagim?" Well, wouldn't the same thing apply to Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif? So why are we saying that Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif, if there was long enough that he couldn't survive, then he is in fact, then his wife is in fact mutter? What if there was a Mechila Shel Dagim there? And the answer is Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif Mechila Shel Dagim Lo Shtita. In Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif, it's not that common to have this Mechila Shel Dagim. So therefore there's nothing to worry about. But when there's Mayim She'en Lahem Soif, there may well be a Mechila Shel Dagim, as we see in this example. Another example, so the Gemara says, so before we have more examples, the Gemara says, Omer Rabashi, Hoda Omer Rabbanan Mayim She'en Lahem Soif Ishtei Asura. This is that the Chachamim are telling us, that if there's Mayim She'en Lahem Soif, that his wife remains Asur, Hani Mili Be'inish Da Alma. Rabashi says that only applies to a regular person. So in other words, because what could happen is he may have gotten out someplace else. So either he got out still conscious, and maybe for all we know, maybe he ran off and decided to start a new life. Or maybe he was unconscious and they pulled him out of the water someplace else and revived him, but they have no idea who he is. And he forgot. Let's say he forgot. First of all, he could still be in a coma, so they may not be able to ask him. But yeah, you could also have, let's say, where he forgot. Yeah. Avil serve him in Abonon Loy, but Rabashi says, if he's a Tamat Chacham, then no, because Edis Solik, Kola Islay, because if he got out of the water, there would be a coil, because a Tamat Chacham is well known, and there'll be people who recognize him.
They were like movie stars. Right.
Yeah, I guess you could say they were celebrities. Yeah, they were celebrities, so therefore, yeah. So therefore, there'd be a coil, and therefore we don't have to worry that he might have gotten out, and nobody knows who he is. However, the Gemara says, v'loihi, it's not so, what Rav Ashi is saying, loishna inish da'alma v'loishna tzurva me'rabbanon, the eved ein l'chatzchil aloi. Doesn't matter. Either way, the eved, if the wife gets remarried, we're not going to force her to get divorced. However, we're not going to l'chatzchil allow her to get married on the basis of a drowning in mayim she'ein lahem soif, because as we're saying, he might have gotten out someplace else. With that said, by the way, there are poskim, and you can find Shalos Atrubas on the subject, that maybe nowadays it's a little bit different. Nowadays, that you have, for example, first of all, people have ID, and second of all, so in that sense, like, everybody is more well known than they were then. And second of all, it's much harder to disappear, and just start a new life someplace else. So some achronim talk about maybe the possibility that nowadays it's different, and nowadays if you find after a certain significant amount of time, if you know that a person was in a certain place, and there's a very small likelihood they got out alive, examples are, for example, there's a shaila, there are shailas that are written in that connection about people about women whose husbands were on the Titanic. There was you're familiar with the website Hebrew Books, where you have 50,000 Sfarim. They actually started with their original mission statement was to publish Sfarim by American Rabbanim that were out of print and nobody would know of otherwise. One of the earliest ones that they published was a Truva by a Rav. He was this person, a Meskin, his name was. He was a Rav in someplace in Ukraine or other. And then he came to the United States and became a Rav in Burlington, Vermont. And he has, in his Shilas Truvas, one that he discussed this question of a man who had been on the Titanic. And when we never heard of him again, can he allow his wife to remarry? And one of the points he brings in is that nowadays it's much harder to disappear like that. Now this is 100 years ago, right? Similarly, it was over 100 years ago. No, it was in 1912. Similarly, you have similar things were brought up, for example, as far as September 11th. You had, unfortunately, some people who were killed there. The bodies disintegrated. They didn't find anything, but still, yeah. So it's very complicated, and again, you know, Kila Bonim and Churbis Yerushalayim, Rabbanim will bend over backwards to be able to try to find any Heterim to be matir within the parameters of what we're saying here in Halach.
The guy could be in witness protection.
No, anyway. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rav Gamliel, Pama Chasayis in the Halach B'Sfina, one time I was traveling on a ship, V'ra'isi Sfina Achas Shenishbara, I saw another boat broke up and sank. I was very upset because I knew that there was a Talmud Chacham on that ship. And the Gemara interjects, Manu Rav Akiva. That Talmud Chacham, who Rav Gamliel knew was on that ship, was Rav Akiva. So I felt really bad. Rav Akiva must have drowned. But Rav Gamliel continues, when I came up to dry land, Baba Yosha Badan Lafana Bahalocha. He came and sat and was discussing Halacha in front of me. So obviously he survived the shipwreck. So I asked him, my son, who brought you out of the water? Amali tells me, Daf shall spin in his damnly. I found a plank of wood from the ship. So I held on to it. And as each wave came over me to wash over me, I shook my head at it. So like it went over my head and then went away. And I was able to, so I was able to breathe between waves, basically. So from this, by the way, the Chachamim learn a lesson in life. If Rishoyim are attacking a person, let him bend his head towards them. In other words, let him, Rashi says, let him think to himself, okay, you know what, these guys right now have the upper hand, let me not go and try to fight forcefully against them, but rather just be willing to bend down, right, and accept that right now they're in power, and therefore I'm not going to be able to fight openly against them, and then they'll wash over you, and then they'll go their way.
Like when you're at the beach and the waves coming, you go under the wave?
Yeah, pretty much the same idea. In fact, Maharsha refers over here to his explanations on the Gemara in Bava Basra, where the Gemara talks about over there about gigantic waves that threaten to swamp the whole world, where the stories of Rabbi Baba Chana. So Maharsha explains over there that the waves symbolize the goyim who are always threatening to overwhelm us. And what do? We nienor loyrosha. We act submissively towards them, not when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, of course, but when it comes to milad alma. And eventually they wash away and they disappear, and we're still here. So we learn this lesson from how Rabbi Akiva did. Amarti, Sir Ramiel continues, so I said at that time, Kamak Durdam Dirve Hachamim, look how great are the words of the Hachamim, Shama Mayan Shiyesh Lam Seif Muteris, Mayan Shain Lam Seif Asura, who said that she's Mutter only if it's Mayan Shiyesh Lam Seif, but not Shain Lam Seif, because after all, here it was Mayan Shain Lam Seif, the pastures we're talking about, it was in the Mediterranean, and you would think, how could a person possibly survive such a shipwreck? And yet, Rabbi Akiva did. So therefore, so you see that you never know with Mayan Chain Lam Seif, you might have gotten out safely. Similarly, in the next generation, Tanya Omer Rabbi Akiva, Pama Chazis Mahalach Vesfina, one time Rabbi Akiva says, I was traveling on a ship, V'ra'isi Sfina Achas Shemitarefes Vayam, I saw another ship was being tossed around in the sea, there was a storm, V'ra'isi Mitzara Tamar Chacham Shabbat, I was very concerned about a Tamar Chacham who I knew was on that boat, Umanu Rameir, namely Rameir, but then when I got off the boat and went to the country of Kaputkia, which is a part of Turkey nowadays, so he came and sat and discussed halacha in front of me. So he survived the shipwreck. So I asked him, my son, who brought you out of the water? Omali tells me, one wave threw me to the next one, and the next wave through to the next one, until it spit me out onto dry land. So it was Rabbi Akiva was saying the waves were washing over him and he needed a plank to hold on to. Here, the mayor is saying the waves themselves helped him and threw him from one to the next. Amarti Baruch Hashem. So again, Rabbi Akiva says, I said to myself at that time, Kamak Dodom Dirich Hachamim, Shamu Mayim Shiyash Lam Seif, Ishte Muteres, Mayim Shein Lam Seif, Ishte Asura. Because you never know, you could have a person could be tossed from one wave to another like the mayor was. I saw once, by the way, a drush on the previous part when we said daf shall spin in his dam in me. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva was saved by holding on to a daf. So that gives us a certain chizuk that when we're every day we hold on to the daf, that's the centerpiece of that, it should be at least the centerpiece of our day, and that helps us keep our heads above the waves of the Mayim Rabim of the in Chizidus it talks about that Mayim Rabim refers to the tirdus of Parnasa, the trouble of making a living. So you hold on to the daf, and that gives you your anchor to be able to be safe with all of that. Anyway, going back to the Gemara, Tanan Abanan, Nothal Legoiv Aroyas in the Idinova. If a person fell into a pit full of lions, you can't say Adris on him that he's dead, because as the Gemara is going to say later, the lions might not be hungry. But if you fell into a ditch full of snakes or scorpions, then you could say Adris on him, because then inevitably they're going to bite. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says that no, we have to be concerned that maybe he's a snake charmer, so he knows how to charm them and prevent them from harming him, and therefore not necessarily is he going to die there in the pit. By the way, when they say about Yosef, you know, the pit that they threw him in, based on our Gemara, Mephoshim explained, obviously they didn't know that they're on the Choshen Va'akrab Min, because the whole point was, Reuven is telling them, throw him in the pit, so that he doesn't die, and Reuven secretly figures to himself that he's going to pull him out of there. If they knew there was the Choshen Va'akrab Min there, based on our Gemara, then that wouldn't work. So therefore it has to be they didn't know they were on the Choshen Va'akrab Min. Although there is an explanation, I think from the Ramban, but I'm not sure, that says maybe even they did know, but Reuven figured that Hashem should interfere with their Bechira Chopshis to kill Yosef is a very rare thing. Hashem very rarely interferes with Bechira Chopshis. On the other hand, he figured if Yosef really is a tzaddik, then yes, Hashem can protect him from the snakes and scorpions, because that's like a lesser nest that Hashem could do. Anyway, the Tanakama, so what is the Tanakama answer to that? Isn't it possible the guy's the snake charmer. True. But the China Kama says, Agapitza, because of the pressure, because after all, he's standing on them here and there, Mazkile, so because of that, even a charmer is not going to be able to, they're naturally going to lash out to protect themselves. And therefore, he's going to get bitten. When he's in a lion's den, he's not standing on top of the lions. And if the lions aren't hungry, then he may get away. He may get out of it safely. Tosfos actually brings from Yerushalmi that says that in both cases you can't say Adris on him because maybe a nest happened to him, like Daniel. But all Gemara is not taking that view. So the Gemara continues. Turn it up on. Nafal sech kibshana ish. If a person fell into a fiery pit, the idinolav, they can say Adris on him that he's dead, because obviously, unless there's mice and nisim. So again, Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that maybe a nest happened to him, like Hanani Mishal Bazalia. But all Gemara is not following that. But if he fell into a vat full of hot wine or hot oil, which is boiling on the fire, me'idinolav, also they can say Adris on him, because he'll definitely get burnt to death. Mishumar of Acha Omru, on the other hand, they said in the name of Rav Acha, not necessarily. Shall shemen me'idinolav, true that if he falls into a vat of boiling oil, they can say Adris, there's no way he could survive that. Because the fire is just going to burn hotter and hotter. Even if when he falls in, some of the oil splashes on the fire, it's just going to make the fire bigger. So therefore, no question is going to get burnt. Shel Yayin, on the other hand, Rav Acha says, if it was a vat full of boiling wine, ein ne'idin olav, then you can't say Eidus on him that he's dead, and Peshu Machabe. Because after all, what happens when some of the wine splashes on the fire? It may put it out. So he may actually, so it may not be too hot for him. Answered Rav Acha, chilos in the chaba, true, at first, if any wine splashes on there, it puts out the fire, the soife magu, but it ends up burning even more strongly than before, because that's how it is. A lot of times you splash a little liquid on a fire, it temporarily lessens the fire, but afterwards it just roars back even more strongly than before. So the same way, even if some of the wine splashes on the logs or the charcoal or whatever that's burning the fire underneath on the source of heat, nevertheless it's still going to burn just as strongly and more strongly than before. And if the guy's not able to get out of there, then yes, he's going to die. Continues the Gemara. We said in the Mishnah, Amr Abneir Mais Be'echad Shenofel LeBor HaGadol. Before it happened once that a person fell into the Bor HaGadol and he was still alive and came out of there after 3 days. So you see, says Reb Meir, that even Mayim should yesh lahem soif, we should say we can't say for sure that the person is dead. Amr Tanya, we learned a Braisa. Amr LeMeir, Ein Maskir and Mais and Nisim. You can't mention Nisim. In that case, Even if you're going to say that he might have been able to hold his head above water, there's a different reason that the Gemara is going to say in a minute that he couldn't have survived in there 3 days unless a nest had happened there. So a nisim is something else. So again, Tosfos says that now when we had a braisa before that said when he had a braisa before that said that we don't worry about nisim, that we say, for example, that if he fell into fire, then we can be made on him. So Tosfos says, according to the Yerushalmi's understanding of it, Reb Meir would actually be arguing with the Maharshal says that the Chachamim here would be arguing with that braisa previously, whether we rely on mice and nisim or not. But here we're saying that the Reb Meir is mentioning mice and nisim, and the Chacham was saying ein maskir and mice and nisim. Well, the question is, my mice and nisim. What exactly is the mice and nisim that you're saying that a nest would have been required for him to survive? Are you talking about that? Now, obviously, we're not saying, in other words, that his head would have been below the water the whole time, because if it was, obviously, yeah, I mean, we're not even talking about that. Even Reb Meir is not going that far. Reb Meir is saying, assuming that he was able to keep his head above water every now and then in order to be able to breathe, then there's another, then whatever else he experienced during those 3 days would have been fatal, but in this case, a nest happened to him. And the Chacham was saying, ein maskir and mais nisim. So the question is, what is that nest? You're telling me that during those 3 days, he didn't eat or drink. Can't be. You find in Megillas Esther, where Esther tells Mordechai to have the Jewish people fast for 3 days and not eat and not drink. The Gemara over here evidently is assuming that they fasted 3 days straight. So a person could live without food or water for 3 days. Now, I mean, he's in a pit of water. It's not like he couldn't have drunk from the water. The pashtus were assuming that he was unconscious. It was a burr, so it had water in it. It had drinking water in it. But the pashtus, I guess we could assume that during the 3 days, the person was unconscious. So we see that Esther is telling them to fast for 3 days straight. Now, there are mephoshim on Megillas Esther who say that maybe she was telling them only to fast by night and not by day. So in that case, there's no proof from it. But our Gemara obviously is assuming that she meant literally 3 days straight, 72 hours.
Fast by night, not by day. I never heard of
that. There is such an opinion that she had them only fast by night and then break their fast by day. Some of the mephoshim there say that. Yeah. Anyway. So obviously then, but if we take it at face value, that in fact they were fasting 3 days straight, then you see that's possible. Elad l'nayim, so you're going to say that he didn't sleep. So maybe it's not that we're talking about that he was unconscious, because then unconscious is sleeping. So okay, I guess we're assuming that he was awake, but even he could maybe drink some of the water, but still that wouldn't necessarily, but still, so we're saying you don't even need that. Even if he couldn't eat for 3 days, that's still, he could still survive that, as we see with Esther. So you're going to say that he couldn't sleep. Rabbi Yochanan says that if a person makes a shvua that I won't sleep for 3 days straight, then automatically it's considered a shvua shav, because there's no way a human being cannot last for 3 days without sleep. Therefore, malkinoso, we give him malkus for swearing a false shvua, v'yishan la'alter, and then he can sleep right away. In other words, we don't tell him, try as much as possible to keep your nether until you can't stay awake anymore, and then you're allowed to break it. Once we give him malchus and we say it was a false shvua, then he doesn't have to keep anything at all. So the point is that a person can't live for 3 days without sleep. So therefore, the Chachamim are saying, if you see that this person was able to survive like that, then it was mice and nisim, and that's different. So, Rav Meir, so what is Rav Meir, my timer, so what is Rav Meir answer to that? So I'm going to find a kiffin agav kiffin habu, because there were arches on top of arches inside the water. So in other words, under the water, there were structures that he could stand on. So therefore, he'd be able to nap briefly here and there during the 3 days. V'rabbanan, the Chachamim answer back to that, the shisha habu, those structures were made out of marble, so they're slippery. So if a person tries to stand on them, he's going to slip right off. So he wouldn't be able to sleep on them. Rav Meir answers back to that. He says, still, inevitably, he'd be able to hold himself strongly to them for a little bit and be able to cat nap for a minute or two. And that's enough. When we say that shvur shleish and shleish yamim means the person is saying, I'm not going to sleep at all. Here, he'd be able to take brief naps here and there, even standing on slippery things like that. And therefore, the mayor is assuming that he could have survived without mice and missing. Since we're talking about somebody that fell into the Yamag into the Borag bottle, so the Gemara tells another story involving with that, a famous story. It happened with the daughter of Nechunya Choifer Shichin. So he's mentioned in Shkolim as one of the officials of the Beis Mikdash. His job was to dig pits in the ground for water, to be able to supply water for the Oilerek. So that was his profession, was digging ditches and cisterns like that. So his daughter, Shenufla Bor HaGadol, so his daughter fell into the Bor HaGadol, and it was too big for her to be able to get out herself. They came and informed Rav Chanina Mendoza to ask him to daven for her, because they had no way of being able to reach down and get her out, and she herself couldn't get out. During the first hour, he told them it's peace. She can still be alive. So you don't have to worry. Shnia Omalahem Shalom, the second hour also. Shlishis Omalahem also, the third hour, she couldn't possibly live that long in the water. So he tells her she actually came out. As the Gemara is going to explain soon, he knew that it's not going to happen. Hashem is not going to allow it to happen, that she would drown in there. Therefore, by the time you reach the point where she couldn't possibly be alive in the water anymore, then he knew it had to be Hashem got her out. Amala biki nihelcha. So he asks her afterwards, my daughter, who brought you out of the water? Amalai, she says to him, Zachar she rechelim nizdamli. I saw a ram, rechelim are female sheep. So a zachar she rechelim is a ram. representing the ram of you know, representing the ram that was brought to the korban instead of Yitzchak, the Zaken Manhigo, and there was an old man leading it, the old man representing Avram. So he pulled me out. That it symbolizes, in other words, that her father had been doing chesed for the people and providing them with water, and therefore in the source of that, therefore in the source of that she was saved. Marsha brings in particular, her father was Nechon Yochai for Shechen. We're saying the ditch degree. So Marsha explains, in other words, that the source of the Akedah, we know in general, when there's a time of Sarah, that Rashi brings on the Pasuk, that Hashem will always see the Akedah and forgive the Jewish people and save them. So therefore, so this is an example of that, where she was actually saved in the source of the Akedah. Marsha brings that Tosfos elsewhere in Shas, in Bava Kamma, the story is also brought, Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi, that actually the Malach was in the image of Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Anyway, so Omer lo Novi after, they asked him, are you a Novi that you know she's going to get out safely? Omer lo Novi Anoichi, v'lo Ben Novi Anoichi, Ella, but I knew, Dovashat Tzadik, Misasik by Yitosho by Zaroi, should the very thing that the Tzadik is involved with it and working so hard on it to dig these pits for people to have water, should his own descendants be, stumble through it and die through it? So I knew that not, I knew, Hashem doesn't do that way. And therefore, I knew she was going to be safe. Some of the Mephoshim actually learn is that it's not necessarily, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakhu im tzedik and b'chuk tzayira. So there's a different explanation. It's not that he's saying, I knew for a fact, but he was davening to Hashem on that basis. How could it be that Dabashat Tzadik Misasik by Yikosha Bazari, and since he knew that his tefillahs are very well accepted by Hashem, then therefore he knew that she'll be safe. So, Omer of Abba, Afrika Ken, Mes B'nei Batsam. Nevertheless, still, Nechon Yechofer Shechen's son died of thirst. Shenema, because we have a pasuk that says, Sviva Nisara Ma'od, around Hashem is very Nisara. The simple meaning of Nisara is stormy. But the Gemara is doubting it, Meloshin Chota Saira, Meloshin a hair's breadth. Meaning, Melamed Shachodesh Baruch Hu Medakim Sviva Chota Saira. So Hashem is very particular with those who are close to him, to the tzaddikim, even to a hair's breadth. So Tosfos explains, in other words, like this. When it was Nechon Yechofa Shechen's daughter in the pit, that's the actual pit that her father dug. So therefore, that she should drown in the water that her father made available to the, tzibur, so that he says is not going to happen. But here, it's the other way around. The son died from a lack of water. So therefore, that's not considered davish and isasik by tzaddik. This is the opposite. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu medakhik im tzaddikim kachod asayir. There is actually another explanation that says that when do we say that davish and isasik by tzaddik yikasha by zaray is only if he's doing it 100% l'shem shemayim. So it might be when he was originally digging the pits, he was doing it purely l'shem shemayim. But maybe afterwards, at some point, a little bit of self-interest crept in over there, and he being a tzaddik, then Hashem judged him very strongly for that. Rav Chanina says you can see the same thing from a different pasuk also in Tehillim. Keil naratz v'soid kedoshim baba, Hashem who was exalted among the secret gathering, among the great secret gathering of the holy ones, the Noda al Kosnivav, and Hashem is awesome over all those who are around him. Again, expressing the idea that the tzaddikim who are around Hashem, who are close to Hashem, they are judged much more strictly than the average person. So therefore, the average person, whatever it is that they did wrong, wouldn't have gotten that their son passes away of thirst. But Nechon Yechofa Shechen, being that he was a tzaddik, then he's judged more strictly like that. Mishnah continues, Afilu shama min anoshim omres mes ish poini, even if a person hears from women, these women aren't intending to give eders, they're just saying in conversation, it's called Messiah Hafiturman, and they're saying that poini died, daya, then that's enough, and you allow, and the aid can now, based on that hearsay, go and testify in front of Beis Din and allow the man's wife to be married. Rabbi Yehuda goes further. Even if he hears from children who are saying, we're going to go to mourn and to bury Pliny, so even though it's only children, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's good enough for us to say that you can give aders on that behalf that the man is actually dead. And so all of this applies whether the person intends to give aders, or like in these examples where they're not intending, they're just the kids are playing around, or the you know, the kids are playing around or the women are talking among themselves. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says it depends. The Yisrael after Yishur Miskaven, when it's the Yisrael, then we can accept his Eidos, even if he's intending to give Eidos, because we don't suspect the Yid is going to lie about such things. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, if it was a Goy, and he means to say it explicitly as Eidos, then we don't accept it, because we say that a Goy might be deliberately lying in order to cause them to cause
trouble. Why would they lie?
They might lie because they, first of all, they don't understand the importance of, of Hilchos issues for us. They think, okay, you know, think of, for example, in Goyish law. You have, for example, in American law, if a person is missing for 7 years, then he's presumed dead. And they allow his estate can be taken over by his heirs, his wife can be married without facing charges of bigamy, etc. So you may well have
this country to Jewish law.
Yes. So in other words, he may have the Goy says that he's dead. He might deliberately be lying. He might be basing himself.
Even if not, though,
he might be basing himself on circumstantial evidence, which is not solid enough of the halacha. But if he's messiah hafitumah, if he's not intending to give eidos, then we can accept it.
Uh-oh.
Says Rabbi Yehuda ben
Bava. How does that work with kashrus messiah
hafitumah? Kashrus is something else entirely. I mean, in general, whenever we talk about Aedros, like Goy is possible Aedros, but if they're Messiah HaFitumah, if they're just in casual conversation or something where they say something from which you can deduce something, then often you can rely on it.
Or like, I think, do we use that for whiskey? If whiskey says that it's 100% pure?
I don't know if it works, but I don't know.
Even with the Ben, I do love Mukubala.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Gemara says, V'duma loy azli. So now we're saying that the children are saying we're going to mourn for and bury Pliny. Maybe they're not actually going. Maybe they're just talking about what we're going to do. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Dekaami, no. What the Mishnah means is they're saying, Harina boin mi lispoid umi likbar esish Pliny. We're coming back from mourning and from burying
Pliny.
Lispoid means to mourn and to cry and then whatever, yeah. Nowadays, you have a hesped, which is a speech that they give to arouse right. People's emotions. Anyway,
let's push some people do that.
Yeah, right.
We don't.
So Toysfus explains, in other words, so the word boyin doesn't mean we're coming to the Leviah, means we're coming home from the Leviah. So the question is still, maybe these are kids after all. Maybe there's a dead grasshopper or a dead ant. They were playing around with it, they killed it, and they named it Pliny. Kids play like that. Yankel died, where they don't mean Yankel the person, they mean Yankel the grasshopper.
The grasshopper, yeah.
Yeah. So the answer is, and they named it by a person's name, right. So how can you accept that? So the answer is the Ka'amri, because we're not just talking about that they say that Yankel died. They say Cain v'Cain Rabbonin Habu Hossam. They say there was such and such Chachamim over there at the Leviah. Cain v'Cain Safdani Habu Hossam. There was such and such eulogizers over there. So once they're giving that much detail, it's not play acting. Then we know it means that they're telling, that they're saying actual facts.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we said, over Obi Kechavim Hoyim Miskaven Fuller, we said with a Goy, if he intends to give Eidos, then it's no good, but if it's Messiah Hapitomoy, then it's okay. So, Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. We said, if the Goy is intending to, so the Tanakhama had said that, with a Goy, it doesn't matter whether, so actually, the Tanakhama hadn't said anything about Jews versus Goy.
If he doesn't give intent, then it's okay.
Right. Okay. So, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava had said there's a difference between a Jew and a Goy in that regard. So, Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Loishonu Elishin Iskavin Lahatu. That would only apply if he had intention to be Matir the wife to remarry. So then we say he might be doing it maliciously in order he might know that he's lying and he's figuring she's going to get remarried and then look at this. I mean, I have a chance to get Jews in trouble.
You
never know.
Okay. What? He might be very nice. He might feel bad.
He might feel bad for her, whatever it is.
I don't believe in these laws. Yeah. Anyway, let the woman marry.
Maybe.
Oh, he knows that.
Yeah, it could go either way. Okay. Abel Miskaven Lahoyed, I just say Eidos. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if he actually intends to give Eidos, then it would be valid Eidos. Now, that's not the halacha. We'll see further. But right now, that's what we're saying. So, Heichi Yadinan. So, how do we know whether he's intending to give Eidos or not? Amr of Yosef, it depends. Bol of Beistin, if the Goy comes to Beistin, but Amr Ish Pliny Mes Hasiyu Esishtoi, he says, Pliny is dead, let his wife remarry. Zehu niskaven lahatir. That means that he's trying to be matir. So then, yeah, you have the possibilities. Either he's doing it maliciously, knowing that the man is not dead and he's going to get the woman in trouble. Or, like you said, Aaron, that maybe on the contrary, maybe he feels bad. Maybe, so he's going to use weak evidence, circumstantial evidence or whatever that wouldn't be acceptable, bahalacha, and then say.
But if he doesn't know anything about remarriage or not remarriage,
that's
okay.
What he's saying.
The guy died or not died.
Right, he's saying, I see your sister. Mes stam, on the other hand, if he says just plain, the man died, zeh niskaven la'edus, then that would mean that he intends to give edus that the man is dead, and then we deduce from that that it means his wife is mutter, such a thing we'll accept. Itzman, nami omer shlokish lo shanu elosh niskaven lahatir. That would be Rish Lakish says the same thing, only if he has in mind to be matir the woman. I'm the scavin lahoid, edus the edus. Omalei Rabbi Yechanan, but Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, how can you say that? Loi kach hoya maise ba'oshia berebi. Didn't it happen with Oshia berebi? Berebi is often, in the Gemara, means a great Talmud Chacham. So we're talking about Reb Oshia, the famous Uli Amorim of Oshia. She tiram im chamisho shmonim skenim, where he was matir, such a case, together with 85 other chachamim. On the side of it here, it says it's supposed to be not shehitiram, but shehitris, meaning that he argued with 85 chachamim on this point and was going to allow it. Amalahem, that he tells them, loy shanu al shenisgavin lahatir, avinisgavin lahoyd lahidus eidus, the loy hoydu loy chachamim. But Rabbi Yochanan says, the other, the 85 chachamim, did not agree with Rabbi Yochanan on that. So Elam Basnissin the Katani over Ovitukhavim, Haimaskavin, Ada Dusa Adis, Hekamashkafasla. Well then how do we explain the distinction in our Mishnah? If you're telling me that even that any time he means to say Adus, then it's no good. So what does the Mishnah mean that if he said that if he's not intending Adus, then it's fine? It would mean the Messiah of Hitumai. It would mean when he's Messiah of Hitumai, when he's saying something, he's not intending to give Adus at all. He's saying something from which we can deduce that this person is dead. And we'll continue with examples of that tomorrow, Bez Hashem, where he's not saying, he's not coming to Beis Din at all, and he's not saying Eidos at all, he's saying something, and from it we can deduce. There was a Machlokas we showed him, there was a Machlokas I posted him, within that, does it have to be that he's saying it like as part of a longer description of something, and then in the middle of it, he mentions, almost like incidentally, that the person is dead, or is it even good enough, he's saying the point by itself, but he's not saying it in a form of Eidos, but rather like in a form of telling something that happened. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow. That's it.
It's just like a police report. You know, some goyish policeman is giving a report. He says he saw this, and that, and that, that.
Right.
There's no reason for him to lie. You know, he's doing his duty, the police officer. And that's taken as evidence also in American court.
Right. Well. But you were saying that with a goy, you need Messiah of Hitomai. Now, again, you have a huge discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim about the exact parameters of that. And there are some times where we say, to a certain extent, that a certain amount of Goyish evidence is valid. I was mentioning before, for example, a tshuva about the Titanic. One of the points made over there is you have a ship's manifest that lists everybody who was on the ship. That was written by Goyim. The posters and whatever there are Goyim. And still, such evidence that he was on the ship. And that he's not in the list of survivors that were published afterwards in the newspapers. So such evidence is to a certain extent acceptable in halacha and other similar examples. So it's not a blanket statement, but the point is we have to be careful with goyish eidos. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll Bez Hashem finish the masechta tomorrow. And yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.